Hello, today is Friday, February the 5th, and you are listening to the Grains Matter Chatter podcast presented by North Core Grains. I'm your host, Dolores Foster, and I'm joined again, back again, this week by my co-host, Jeffrey Guy.
2 weeks off and I'm back. Big Cahoon has taken this week off, I guess, from the podcast.
Yes, I tried to convince him, but he decided he needed a break.
Don't want to overwork him.
No.
But we know the podcast isn't a work. It's a joy to do, isn't it, Dolores?
Yes, we love talking to you guys every week. So, Jeffrey, what happened this week in the markets?
Well, the markets were quieter this week than last week. Quickly take a little look at prices. So old crop corn prices were down a couple dollars. Soybeans were down $4. Wheat prices were down $3 to $6 on the old crop. But one nice thing to look at was this harvest 2021 coming up, corn actually closed up a dollar at $2.27 per ton. Soybeans were up $6 back over the $531 per ton. And wheat was up $4. Spring wheat was up $4. Winter wheat, unfortunately, was down. But spring wheat closed at $280. So it's nice to see some positive in new crop prices, even though old crop prices were down a little bit, which...
And a lot more exciting numbers than this time last year.
Oh, just massive difference right now. Like, to think that, you know, this week we people locking in corn at $227 for this fall and soybeans at $530. You know, I think it's that same marketing recommendation. Maybe take advantage of some prices that are good prices that are out there, but don't sell everything because there's still potential in the market.
Of course.
Because what's the word this year? Volatility.
It seems to be, yes.
You know, and lots of potential volatility in the market. So when we're, as I said, no real big news. The USDA did confirm last week's corn export sales. So that was the largest week ever on record for corn export sales, which is, that's pretty phenomenal when you can say something like that.
Yep.
And that's why last week was a larger week or bigger week for more announcements than that. So when we're looking at some USDA numbers, so right now with the corn sales on file for this year, they should have about 87% of the USDA's projected exports already looked after for the year. And I think it's over 95% now for soybean exports looked after. You know, we're only a few months into the marketing year and they're almost 100% of their projected sales are done. So you'd think those numbers just aren't right.
Yes. So you know? Is it next week the WASDA report
is
coming
out? Yeah, so the February, the monthly WASDA report from the USDA is coming out. And this is where they always look at stocks and demand issues and that. So it's the marketplace is looking for the USDA to increase the export numbers. And kind of funny, on the corn side, just last month, they decreased export numbers by, I think, 100 million bushels or something. They decreased them. And now the marketplace is looking for them to increase the numbers.
But is it a sure thing that they will increase it, Jeff?
There's never a sure thing with the USDA. The USDA is known to throw curveballs at the marketplace.
Yeah.
You know, they did that with yield last month for on the corn side, decreasing yield more than what people had, than anybody was down as expecting. And the USDA is also known for sometimes being slow to respond to changes in the marketplace. So where maybe most analysts are looking for them to do a change this month, it might come out in March or April.
Right.
So we can't be surprised if they don't change numbers very much this month, but we should really be expecting it. And I think as I wrote this morning in the little daily blog, it's, you know, the numbers that the USDA plays with on here, where you hate to say they play with numbers, but it feels like they play with numbers.
It does.
And that, and like this February report historically isn't a real big market mover, but it does have some real potential this time. But again, if the USDA plays it safe and doesn't change much, it will be much ado about nothing. So it's a, we'll have to wait and see Tuesday at lunchtime, I guess it's when it comes out. So the markets continues to watch other things. Mm-hmm. What's the market always looking at?
Well, it's always looking at a couple of things, but a big one that we always talk about is China.
Oh, China. Well, so right now prices in China for corn and soybeans remain strong. No big news out of China this week other than, you know, prices remain strong. So it's when their prices are strong and high, staying above moving 50-day averages and that, they're keep ratcheting up a little bit. Mm-hmm.
They're looking for crops other places, eh?
That they're still importing, to import, they can afford to import. You know, one of the other things that the market always looks at is weather. Mm-hmm. And with crops being grown all around the world, we're watching the weather. But South America right now, it's so funny how I wrote this week too, how just a couple weeks ago, Brazil was dry. Oh, it's going to affect yields. Then they start getting a little bit of rain. Oh, yields are probably going to stay pretty strong. And then they kept getting some rain, and now they're still getting rain. Oh, harvest is going to be held back now.
Delayed.
And so when they delay soybean harvest, they delay
Corn planting.
And then the corn is, in theory, growing through some historically drier periods.
Yeah.
So it has a potential for affecting soybean quality if the crops are left in the field too long right now, and maybe some yield, and then corn yield going forward.
Yeah.
All the wet weather in Brazil. And then Argentina, southern Brazil and most of Argentina is remaining on the dry side.
So all good news for our market anyways.
Well,
or supportive, I should
yeah,
say.
Yeah, it should be supportive prices for corn and soybeans going forward. And that's kind of neat how the weather is kind of swung around over a few weeks,
yeah,
or even less time than that. And then, you know, we haven't talked a lot about wheat lately, but Egypt, the world's largest purchaser, has been started to buy again, first time in like 7 weeks or something. Egypt has bought, which was pretty strange. Exports in Russia, when they announced the export tax coming on in the middle of February, first said, oh, it doesn't seem to be affecting much. But now you can read about how trucks are lining up to dump in Russia. They're trying to get the wheat to the market before the export taxes mm-hmm. kick in. Again, weather in the U.S. is a cold spell coming down into the southern plains affects some of the U.S. wheat crop. So it's, you know, there's always some things to talk about in wheat around the world. But wheat prices, you know, again, look at those flat prices for next year here, or for this harvest, the 270 to 280 plus protein levels. Wheat prices are getting pretty attractive also.
Yeah, they are.
So on the, you know, our main commodities, that's kind of what I have to say. But I found something pretty interesting in the marketplace this week, and it's we're not going to talk about GameStop because that's too confusing for everybody.
I actually read a thing on Twitter, and it explained it. So it explained what it means to short the market, and then it explained what happened with GameStop. And I feel like that's the only reason I can understand what went on there. Because someone dumbed it down for me.
it can get pretty confusing, all the extra things they did on that market. And it's almost the same as, oh my God, we're getting off topic, but the mortgage market in the U.S. back when the...
In 2008.
When the financial crisis. And it's much the same as something like that. But anyhow, I was looking at oil prices this week. So the pandemic... Remember last spring, oil prices in the nearby actually went on the negative side.
Yes, I do remember that.
Supply had so overwhelmed demand with the pandemic, they just could not see demand anywhere. What are we going to do with this oil? When prices went negative, the theory was they had to pay people to take it away.
Yep.
So now in the, you know, since that time, OPEC plus nations have tried to cut back some production. There's some countries that are producing, even in that group, producing under their production limits agreed to just because of local issues, mm-hmm. whatever's happening and having trouble keeping some oil fields flowing. So the last week or so, oil prices are back up to like a yearly high. And it's, remember, we were in the negative. So now oil prices this morning was like $56 West Texas crude a barrel. And so they've jumped up because demand has outpaced supply now.
So now there's so little supply in the marketplace.
Where some of that world surplus is slowly being eaten up. China announced this week that their oil stocks, there's that China word again, their oil stocks are at a one-year low. Still lots of supply, but they're still at a one-year low.
Yep.
U.S. has cut back production also. So it's just the demand right now, even though it's not back to pre-pandemic levels, is outpacing the supply that's out there. So how will this market respond going forward? Will OPEC Plus increase production again? Who knows? You know, but they like the higher prices too. So it will be interesting to see. But unfortunately, one of the bottom lines is with higher oil prices, higher prices at the pump, higher prices at our diesel tank from the delivery guys, and it's more cost for the farmers.
Always seems to be that way.
Yeah, which is just a bit of a downer that way. But it was... It was kind of interesting. I thought it was interesting to just see how that market has responded. Because, you know, the theory is that there's tons and lots of oil out there and to be pumped in that. But things happen, like pipelines getting canceled, et cetera, and prices are going up. So that's about all I have this week. It seems like target prices, you know, we always like to talk a little bit about target orders.
Yeah.
Volatile week. The bunch got hit again.
Congratulations to those that that got their target orders.
It's just amazing how we all see prices change like overnight to during the day, and you'll think one day, oh, it's a big negative day, and then it ends up positive, and the next day you think it's going to be positive, ends up negative. Like it's volatility is the word.
That's right. So next week we have an exciting guest on, our first guest of the year, and he actually was our first guest of this podcast, so we're going to call it his farewell to the East.
Yes, Mr. Olbach from Pioneer, Chris Olbach, is coming on. He was a local agronomist, now he's moved farther west, closer to his home, and that and his wife's home, so or where they were raised, and they were...
Chris did a lot of great stuff for us here in the East, and he was really supportive of our industry, and he will be missed for sure.
And he was, the last number of years, he was part of our agronomist panel at our customer day.
He was, yep. So we're excited to talk to him next week, and and many more special guests in the future too. Right, Jeff?
For sure. Sounds good. we'll look forward to talking to him, and anybody has any questions all week, don't be afraid to give us a call.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye for now.